Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome to The Weekend Nashville. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman. Connor Newt is back in studio after a week down in Oxford. We got the whole crew back in studio. Excited for a fun weekend show here. We're going to talk a lot of Titans, talk some college football as we enter week three, officially. Week four, if you count week zero.
Yeah.
And we'll get ready for the Titans and Jets tomorrow, home opener from Nissan Stadium. Gentlemen, how are we on this Saturday morning?
Feeling great, honestly. Woke up around, 5 o'clock-ish, and just felt the need to wake up and do something. So made myself some breakfast, along with our wonderful bet that I kind of forgot about last week.
Jake Trishan. If you're watching on the stream...
Yes.
If you're not, this is great radio. Yep. I've got pancakes from Nick Frazier's Blackstone. So we've heard all about the Blackstone on
Chef's
the show,
and
now I get to experience it.
And half a bottle of Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, that yes. too.
You know
that
what? I will make sure to try these during the show at some point, and I will give a review coming up in hour number two.
Like, we can skip nutrition this week. You got Jake Trishan.
That's true. Yeah.
We got to come up with one.
I mean... Yeah, gotta be. I don't know what to call it. Yeah, Jake Trishan.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and Jakey.
There we go.
that too. Oh man, we're off the rails already. But
yes,
yeah, doing pretty good.
All
this
of
morning.
2 minutes. Yeah. All of 2 minutes.
That's what you get when I come back in the studio.
I had my windows down this morning as I was driving. Nice, cool breeze, whatever. And a sweat bee or whatever type of bee was flying into my car on the passenger side. And I swatted my hand. I got it right on the middle finger.
Ooh.
And it didn't get me, but I was like, and it swatted all the way out the window. I was like, I feel like an absolute just bad person. Right? It's awesome. It was awesome.
Throw up your finger and show the stream.
I can't do that. Oh, man. But, yeah, overall, great, great day, great weekend ahead of us. A lot of college football. It's going to be a fun one.
Excited for it. Let's jump into headlines. Connor Newt, why don't you start us off since you're returning from your trip down to Oxford?
That's my headline. I got a story from Oxford to tell you. So I went down there for, obviously, MTSU's sacrificial lamb game, as I put it last week. I wouldn't miss a show for you guys. Basically, I got my tickets through Ticketmaster. They were like 10 a pop. Easy. So I get down there. The whole trip down there, the tickets said order is delayed. So I'm on chat with customer service for like two straight days. They're like, yeah, you should be square, all that. They wanted me to go through MLB.com to get tickets. And I'm like, this is a college football game. That's not, we don't do, it's weird. So I get down there to scan tickets and stuff. And they're like, yeah, we don't carry tickets from Ticketmaster. Sorry. We're sponsored by SeatGeek. And I was like, well, Ticketmaster put your tickets up for sale, and it said it was sponsored by you. So I go to, box office, raise some hell there. Long story short, we got in. I'm not going down without a fight. So I get on the chat with Ticketmaster customer service, and I'm like, listen, I want a full refund. I missed the event. They thought I missed the event. I'm mooching them. So, long story short, I got $40 back. I got a free game and free parking because we had a media pass to park.
So, how about that?
It was a good day.
Connor's fighting for all us little people.
Yeah.
It's always great when stuff like that happens where you actually get it, but they still did mess up.
Oh, yeah.
So, you got to go to customer service.
Well, they sent me a text and they were like, we're sorry you missed the event, all that. And I was like, yeah, you better be sorry. Give me my money back. So... work smarter, not harder sometimes.
Connor, I can just see him now on his get off my lawn rant. Hey, man, I did not get to go to the game. I want a refund.
It's my old man moment. I mean, my other old man moment, you saw it, was the picture of me on the phone calling into the show to do notes. And I look like I'm just crammed in the back seat of an F-150. Just like, I was like, you guys couldn't give me the front seat. I'm taller than all of you. And he was like, no, you ride in the back. So. It is what it is. I mean, I'm back here, and now I can finally say it. I said it this morning, and you missed it. But let me clear my throat. Finally, the speaker has come back. I think Four's Company.
I think we have some surprises coming with Newt's Notes. So if you want to see me and Nick Frazier dying laughing, tune in at 9:45.
I honestly, every time Connor does some sort of wrestling reference or an introduction of some regard, I just lose it. I lose it because it's great for
it's
radio.
Really good.
Just wait till 9:45, buddy. You're gonna love it.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
It has no Boomer Doom, please.
Oh, God. Oh. Dude, they were on... Did I send you this? They were on AEW the other day, and they were
they're
like...
everywhere.
They were like, AEW gets a big boom! And I'm like, what has this world become where we can get famous for saying things like
this? It's so funny.
I open up my Twitter, and it's there. I'm like, how? I try to escape it, and it's there.
It's them and Haley Welch. I'm like,
yeah.
Please get away from
Talk
me.
Talk to her.
Oh, God.
I think the first episode of her podcast came out last night.
You know, I'm good.
I'm okay. I don't need to watch
I'm all right.
I'll pass. I'll stick to my Blackstone YouTube videos.
Nick Frazier, do you have a headline for us this morning?
I do. I think they mentioned it yesterday. Kumar Rocker, and Tracy Rocker's son. That's a pretty cool moment for Vandy Athletics, along with just in general the Rocker family as well. Just, you know, when you work so hard at, you know, stuff you've wanted to do your whole life, especially Kumar Rocker's, you know, path to the MLB. It's just a very gratifying thing to see, along with, you know, I bet for Tracy Rocker as a dad to see it in person. So, you know, it's a good thing to see, and especially me being a baseball fan, and there's just that Nashville tie, and you're seeing it on the TV, like, hey, I know that guy.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Not personally, but like, I know that guy.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Tracy's on the Titans staff, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I think he's the D-line coach?
Yes, and Amy Adams-Strunk flew him out to Seattle to see it.
Because I remember he was the one that got denied when Kumar threw his no-hitter in the College World Series.
Yes. Yep. That's what that Willie was telling us that yesterday. No, really, really cool stuff to see Kumar Rocker. I mean, that's a dude who, electric in college, had a lot of things not go his way on his way to the big leagues. And it's
played
all...
indie ball somewhere.
I know, yeah.
Wild.
I mean, had an agreement with the Mets for a deal, drafted 10th overall, Mets back out at the last minute because of medical concerns. Ended up being the right medical concerns because he had Tommy John surgery about a year and a half later. But he's worked his way back, dominant in the minors, had a sub-2 ERA in 12 starts, and now pitching the big leagues.
Good for him. And reunited with Jack Leiter.
With Jack Leiter. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of cool for the Rangers. They've had a tough season after winning the World Series last year, but a bright future with those guys in the rotation.
Thank you for saying bright future, because unfortunately the Rangers like to do this to their young talents for some reason, especially Jack Leiter, putting him in a bad situation earlier in the season.
Yeah.
He had an 8 ERA to finish the season. I'm like, man, y'all throw him in when you
because
guys
of that one game?
Oh, that and a game after that, he gave up 7 hits because they just didn't have any pitching depth.
Well, they put him in mid-season when all their pitchers were hurt. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, the guy's not ready. Get somebody else. Like, you have a high prospect that has so much potential. Dude, get somebody else that doesn't have a lot of potential and just lose the game with that guy.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Rangers.
Unfortunate, but thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah, they got a lot of young talent over there in Texas. Wyatt Langford as well. Last year's fourth overall pick.
SEC, baby.
Yeah, Florida.
Just means more.
I will stick with baseball for my headline. First of all, I want to point out, I almost wore my Tigers jersey in this morning. Oh. The Detroit Tigers are 2.5 games out of a playoff spot.
Yes.
With 17 games to go. 14 games to go. Sorry, I was a series behind. Almost had a no-hitter last night. 8 2/3 innings would have been a combined no-hitter, and Gunnar Henderson tripled into the corner. Tigers still held on to win 1-0 and left the tying run on third base.
Who was the pitcher? Tarik Skubal?
No, it was an opener. So Bo Brisky opened the game. Then Brant Herder went 5 2/3. Brennan Hanafy threw an inning. And then Tyler Holton came in to close it out.
Oh, my gosh.
But they got the win 1-0. Kerry Carpenter, Hokey, Kerry Bonds hit a home run. That was the only...
Kerry Bonds,
yes. That was the only run the Tigers scored. That's not my headline, but just want to point it out. Tigers are coming, trying to make the playoffs for the first time since 2014. But they're trying to chase down the Twins, and this is a Twins-related headline. I'm not sure if you guys saw this. Prospect for the Twins, 6th overall pick just this year, in July, out of Coastal Carolina. Derek Bender is his name. He was released this week after being a 6th-round pick 2 months ago. He was telling opposing hitters in a playoff game at Class A Fort Myers what pitches were coming.
Oh, my God.
Because he wanted the season to end.
Stallions. That's awesome.
And he got released
because
of that?
He got released. So, Derek Bender, he played for Coastal Carolina. So, I get it. It's tough for these college players because their season starts in February. And if you get drafted, you're playing all the way until September.
What do you think? He's in the bullpen. Four seam.
He played in the Clemson regional against Vanderbilt too. So he was in that series or that game against Vandy, then gets drafted, and just wanted the season to end. So he is behind the plate telling the hitters what is coming.
Watch that curveball.
Yeah. So, and apparently the coaches for, it was the Tigers affiliate, the Lakeland Flying Tigers, their coaching staff went over after the game and told the Fort Myers coaching staff, like, hey, our hitters were being told what pitch was coming the entire game.
Why would you tell? Snitches.
So he got released. Big mistake there from Derek Bender, but I thought that was crazy. Having worked in summer league baseball, like, I know there were plenty of players on those teams who did not care whether the team won or lost and just wanted to go home. But I don't think any of them would have done that.
Make it stop.
That's pretty low. Like, that is very low.
I thought that was crazy. Jake Wallman, wrap us up here on headlines.
My headline is Deshaun Watson.
He had
to be talked about. He gets signed that big contract. You know, the Browns go all in on him as their franchise quarterback, and then he just has an awful, awful day last weekend against the Cowboys. Then, to top it off, another lawsuit comes out.
Yep.
And yeah, you know, it's been the topic all week in the sports world. I think at some point you got to move on if you're Cleveland. I know that you take a
Jameis season.
It's Jameis season. Yeah. I mean, that would be a much better connection than the way Deshaun played last weekend.
Yeah.
It's Deshaun Watson's birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday,
I'm
Deshaun.
Going all in on his birthday then. I mean, you just –
I hope he's not.
Flapjacks. That's what he got for a cake. Flapjacks. You all right?
I think I can.
What happened to the microphone back there?
I think I can say this on
air. We will get to that during the break.
Okay.
All right. I think I can say this on here. I saw, you know, the Dov Kleiman account, the aggregator. Yeah, somebody made a spoof of him. So this wasn't real, but somebody, he tweeted, part of Nick Chubb's recovery from ACL and MCL tears was a masseuse. Deshaun Watson has purposefully tried to tear his ACL. Because.
So wait, have you guys heard about the burner account?
Yeah.
Like Leroy
Bickerstaff.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if that's true, because KD came out about that and said, hey, that I had a burner account.
KD got caught because he was accidentally tweeting on his real account.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's real.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. The more we'll know.
It's an ever-evolving situation. Hopefully the truth comes out there. Whatever it is, hopefully we'll see what happens. And, you know, maybe it is Jameis time in Cleveland. Quickly before we head to break, Connor, you are in charge of our question of the day today.
I am. Okay, so this is kind of inspired by my group chat with Go Middle. My work is going to start coming out here soon, actually.
Let's
go. Basketball season, so get hype. The head of basketball for us, who I work with, his name's Oliver. He's a big Duke fan. So we were talking about it, and I was like, you ever notice how Duke always just has this one guy that everyone loves to hate? And he's like, yeah, that's a good question, which inspired me to think, what are you guys's, and our listeners too, text us at 615-737-1025, what is an athlete or a coach that you just love to hate?
It's a good one.
I have a few. I got to think about this.
I've got one immediately that comes to mind. We will give our answers, as always, at 10 o'clock. If you have an answer, text or call 615-737-1025, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Good question. Who is a player or coach that you love to hate? I'm sure we'll get some good responses on this. We are off and rolling on this Saturday morning. When we come back, it's time to talk about that disaster in Chicago on Sunday as the Titans blow the Tigers a 17-0 lead and fall to 0-1 with a loss to the Bears. We'll get into that next here on Force Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Thank you. Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Here with you on your Saturday morning. Be sure to tune in to 93.3 FM, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville later today for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders taking on Western Kentucky at Floyd Stadium. 100 Miles of Hate is renewed. Pre-game starts at 4:30, kickoff at 6. Coverage also available on the 93.3 FM, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville app, and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you this morning. Time to get into that game on Sunday between the Titans and Bears. I know if you listen to the station, you've heard ad nauseum about the death pick from Will Levis, but I feel like that's where we have to start. Titans up 17-16, third down, about 7 minutes left in the game, and Will Levis, rolling to his left, decides to shovel pass a ball towards the sideline, intercepted by Tyreek Stevenson, taken back for the touchdown. Disaster of a play. And I said this yesterday to Derek, that if he takes a punt there, or takes a sack and they punt, Titans may still lose that game, and we're not blaming Will Levis completely, but it's hard not to blame Will Levis outside of the block punt for losing that game, a game they should have won.
My question is, why did he run to the outside? Step up in the pocket and make a play. If you have to take a sack, take a sack, but don't run to the outside. Almost take the sack, roll out, and then try to shovel pass.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was, excuse me, I think it was on Monday or Sunday or something. I don't know who asked the question, but it was asked about Will Levis's midline in the pocket.
Yeah.
And Brian Callahan was like, yeah, like he was off his midline a handful of times, but, you know, at the same time, he's a young quarterback. He kind of had that, you know, not easy out answer, but always void back to the original answer of, you know, he's a young quarterback. He's still learning. So, I'm with Connor. You got to step up in the pocket, and you don't roll out on your backside. You just don't.
No.
You don't. If you don't see anything, go stay on your front side and throw it away that direction. Like that's all you got.
Your body is never a good idea.
Right. You're a right-handed quarterback. Why are you rolling out left?
And it blows my mind that you have the lead, like Jake is saying. You have the lead. Why would you want to play, and everybody's used this phrase all this week and in weeks past, hero ball. Why on the God's green earth do you want to play hero ball when you can easily throw the ball away when your defense has been having a spectacular game?
That's where I think his sliding thing comes from, hero ball.
He wants to make every play.
Yeah, which I love that mentality, but it's a team sport.
Yeah. You got to know when the play is over and to move on. And there were multiple times, like we saw it with Tua on Thursday night, that first off, the pick six that was eerily similar to Will Levis trying to throw it away against his body and ended up being a pick six, and then lowers his shoulder. You hate it for Tua, the concussion, but it's the same thing with Will Levis. Like, if he continues to lower the shoulder, eventually you're going to get hurt. It's going to happen. It happened to Tua on Thursday, and if Levis keeps initiating contact, it's going to happen to him.
It is.
And there's a player comp. Sorry, Connor. There's a player comp that was mentioned at the pre-draft, and they mentioned that, you know, I think Will Levis is the one that compared himself to Josh Allen. I mean, it's spot on.
It's similar.
It is.
For me, it's spot on. The guy runs everywhere he goes. He doesn't have the fumble issues. The interception thing, it's on the horizon.
But here's the thing. Josh Allen's a tank. He can take those hits.
Yeah.
Yes.
Levis is big, but he's not Josh Allen big.
If I'm a fan of a franchise, I don't want a quarterback to be like Josh Allen. I'm sorry. I don't want a running style quarterback that has a good arm. Like, that's great. It's good to have all those intangibles in your back pocket. But I would love this is a throwing league. It's a passing league. It's a quarterback league. Emphasize on the passing part of it all. And people are going to say, well, the Titans don't have an offensive line to do that. No, that's where the whole thing from the front office down to the roster, that's where it goes to, in a couple drafts, let's draft a bunch of offensive linemen, develop from there on out. You draft from inside to out. And it's kind of like that with everything in sports. You draft on the core pillars, the backbone of your offense and defense, to really get you to where you need to be. That is your baseline, and you build off of that. Whereas the Titans obviously have had this weird situation with coaching changes, and the new coaching changes that come in are basically saying, do they have the quarterback of the future? That's what they're emphasizing on. When in reality, for me, it needs to be you need to have your offensive line set before you can focus on the skill positions.
To your point, I don't think the Titans have the offensive line for a running quarterback.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Because if a running quarterback, if you take off right, let's say, I think the right side is a little bit weaker than the left side. If they take off on the right, you're getting maybe 1 to 2 yards on a good day. So I'm with you. I feel like they need kind of the Titans have always been kind of the team to get the running quarterback with McNair and
Vince Young,
Mariota.
Even Jake Locker was
Jake Locker a little
mobile.
Bit. Ryan Tannehill occasionally. Yeah.
He could move.
Yeah. He was a former baseball player, by the way. I didn't know if anybody knew that.
Yeah.
That was my first jersey ever.
It might have been mine, too, because, like, Jake L., like, that was...
I was maybe... When was this? 2010?
12. 12. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I was, like, between 6 and 8. So I was like, yeah, I want the quarterback.
Number 10, Jake Locker. Yeah.
I had Jake Locker, and my brother had Kenny Britt.
Oh.
And then
Legends.
Then we migrated to Nate Washington and Dexter McCluster.
There you go.
Oh, McCluster.
I love
it's a great
McCluster.
One.
My first ever Titans jersey, unfortunately. I mean, minus when I was a toddler, I had a McNair jersey and Eddie George. But my first one out of my own choice, out of our backyard, MTSU, Tyrone Calico.
Wow.
Yeah. It was an away jersey.
Name drop.
My proudest jersey I own is from my dad when the Predators got here in 98. He went to the home opener, bought the jersey. Still have that jersey.
That's awesome.
Navy blue.
Frame it.
Yeah. I wear
it's a good idea.
One of the patches has fallen off, but it's all right.
Sew it up.
I've glued it. I've
Shadow
done
box.
Everything.
Shadow box.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, with Will Levis.
Sorry. Off
anyway.
How do we feel about him long term after week one? It's just one game. But there were some decisions and some plays in there that really have to give you concern about whether he can be the guy long term for the Titans.
Well, you both know this since we've started this show.
There
my thought on Will Levis has stayed true the whole way. He will show signs of improvement. He will show signs of regression. But guys, the Titans will still be in the mucky middle at the end of the season.
Yep.
I think so too.
I've said that ever since he was drafted. I've said that ever since through training camp, preseason. We're only 1 week into the season, but goodness gracious, you just can't do that in a game where you can win a football, when you're in a position to win a football game. You can't do that.
However,
it's a learning experience, I understand.
I'm not ready to give up on him yet.
I'm not saying I'm giving up.
No.
I'm just saying there are going to be signs of regression and signs of improvement, and the front office is going to have to make a decision because when they get to draft time, they're not going to be in a position to get a quarterback. And they don't have the draft capital to move up to get a quarterback.
No.
And so they're going to be forced to go. They're going to be forced to get a massive deal for Will Levis, unfortunately.
Do you even want a quarterback in this year's draft? Because outside of Carson Beck, there's not a prospect that stands out to me.
Quinn Ewers is on my radar.
Yeah.
Not sold, though.
Shedeur,
Aller
because
from
you're
Penn
drafting
State.
Deion.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Aller from Penn State.
Nah.
He's looked decent.
I don't see it.
I'm not 100% in on him, but, like, he's got the arm.
Milrow, I do not see.
No.
Diego Pavia, anyone?
Maybe in, like, the seventh round. We'll see. But
nice guy, probably.
Pavia feels like a guy who, like, a great college quarterback, but.
Yeah.
I mean.
Feels like he'd be a Logan Woodside in the NFL.
Like, Johnny Manziel,
very
Trace
much.
McSorley are the guys that he's been kind of compared to. Like, those guys aren't NFL caliber quarterbacks, but they're great college quarterbacks.
Trace McSorley is doing great for himself.
That's true.
He's got the song.
He does.
He's a commander now.
I think I've said before.
You never heard the Trace McSorley song?
No.
Oh, we're playing that back coming back from break.
Throw it on a dime.
Yeah, we're playing the Trace McSorley song.
Never heard that.
He grew up like 15 minutes from where I grew up.
How about that?
Not our rival high school, but another one in the area. They won like 2 state championships while he was there.
Was he the quarterback? Was he legit?
Yep. Okay. He committed to Vandy.
Yeah.
And then followed Franklin to Happy Valley.
Happy Valley. Flip to Happy Valley.
We'll play the song for you.
I've never heard this.
We'll play
it
coming back.
This is hilarious.
Quickly before we go to break, I wasn't going to bring this up. I thought about making this my headline, and I texted you guys about this earlier this week, but I just saw an old text on our text line saying Hendon Hooker should be in a Titans uniform.
No,
and
stop it.
I saw so many Vols fans talking about this after the game on Sunday and into Monday of, you could have had Hendon Hooker. He was right there. Hendon Hooker. Sorry, my headphones are going out.
That's okay.
Hendon Hooker is not an NFL caliber starting quarterback. Like, he's just not. He was a good college quarterback in the right offense, but you draft in the NFL based on traits, not on success in college. If you're drafting on success in college, would Patrick Mahomes have been a first-round pick? No.
No.
Would Josh Allen have been a first-round pick?
No.
No, but those are the two best quarterbacks in the NFL. You draft based on traits. Will Levis has the arm. He's got the size. He's got all the traits of being an NFL quarterback. Hendon Hooker just doesn't. He might be a productive backup, but the Titans did the right thing in drafting Will Levis over Hendon Hooker. I'm sorry to the Vols fans who think that they should have appealed to the fan base in the area and brought in a Vol, but you draft based on who you think is going to be the best possible NFL quarterback. I've said this to Connor before. I watched Hendon Hooker for 2 full years at Virginia Tech while I was there. There was not a single moment where I said, that dude's an NFL quarterback. Wow. Like, yeah. I like Hendon Hooker. I took a class with Hendon Hooker.
Hey, like, wow, that's your claim to fame.
I think he was a good college quarterback. He's not an NFL quarterback.
Jake's notes.
I will not bring this up again on the show. I wasn't even going to bring it up today, but I saw a text about it, and I was like, you know what? I need to get this off my chest.
Just get it off.
Jake Stillman. Way to go.
We will keep talking Titans after this, and don't forget, Newt's Notes is coming up at 9:45. We don't really know what to expect there.
Don't.
And then our question of the day, get your answers in. Who's a player or coach you love to hate? Maybe people are going to think my answer is Hendon Hooker after that. But
I'm trying to stray away from Duke because that's the one I brought up.
Yeah.
But I encourage all answers.
Yes. Yes. We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by Wilson County Hyundai. And again, we will give our answers coming up at 10. Forest Company here on this Saturday morning, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Despite the fact that he led his high school to 4 straight state championship game appearances, very few high major recruiters looked at the 6-foot-tall, 180-pounder and said, quarterback.
You've never heard this?
Never heard this.
This is all over TikTok in like 2021.
I don't have TikTok.
Oh. Well, Instagram too.
This kind of slaps.
There are a few quarterbacks who are TikTok YouTube quarterbacks. Trace McSorley is one of them.
Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci. That's a great one.
Oh. Mama. Ben DiNucci.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Ben DiNucci.
I love that we can do the Italian now. I listen to it every day.
Oh.
And these guys have their fun. Now it's my turn.
Yes, Waluigi.
Waluigi.
Waluigi, whatever.
I have the build of Waluigi.
Okay. Yeah, there's Trace McSorley. We need a Diego Pavia song. He can be the next guy. Yeah, get like a Pitbull sound alike to do a Diego Pavia song.
It would be great if he played at FIU.
That would. Pitbull Stadium. Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, back to the Titans.
I can't believe you've never heard that.
I know. You need to be more chronically online.
Now it's going to show up on your Twitter.
Yep. Just like that and
Big
Double
AJ.
Chunk chocolate cookie.
Yeah, Nick, I was going to ask, is that song a boom or a doom?
You know, it's a...
there's some Saquon Barkley mentions in there, too.
It has the right way of saying it's a boom, right? I guess it's all right.
Did Baby Gronk Rizz Up Lizzie Dunn?
Again, I don't know who this Rizzler guy is, but we're just going to continue. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I know I'm only in my mid-20s, but goodness gracious.
We just turned Saturday mornings into brain rot central.
I know.
Look what we've done.
I apologize to anybody above the age of, like, 28. I think that might just be the limit.
Some like 40-year-old. Who the hell are these?
What
kids?
Are they talking about?
you're basically talking to an 85-year-old man right now in the middle of this seat.
Honestly, if we're being honest, I don't even know what we're talking about.
I don't know what it is. I just know.
It pops up on my Instagram sometimes.
I love it.
Back to the Titans. We talked about the game on Sunday, the disaster from Will Levis, but let's look ahead. It's only week one. I talked with TD about this last night on Jake and TD. 6 to 7 on Fridays, by the way. Shameless plug.
Hey, it's here.
It is.
It is.
It is. The Titans' schedule that looked daunting for the first month of the season does not look quite as bad anymore. Likely going to see Malik Willis next week, although Jordan Love is listed as questionable for this week against the Colts. So maybe not 100%.
Robbie Stanley is praying right now.
But likely seeing Malik Willis in Nashville next week. we don't know what the situation with Tua is, but you would think with Skylar as many Thompson. Concussions that he's had, you're going to see Skylar Thompson or another backup in week four in Miami. Those two games look a lot more winnable now. This game becomes pretty big. If you win this one, you put yourself in a position where heading into the bye week, you could feasibly be 3-1.
And it's not the same Aaron Rodgers that we know. He looked all right that first drive against the 49ers on Monday, and then he just kind of fizzled out. Like, I think Charles Robinson said it best earlier this week. He looks like a 40-year-old recovering from a season-ending injury, which is exactly what he is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not the same. This Jets team goes as far as Aaron Rodgers takes them, in my opinion.
And I think playing a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers is advantageous for the Titans, who can push the pocket with Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, because Aaron Rodgers has never been a quote-unquote mobile quarterback, but he used to have some escapability where he could move in the pocket, he could get out if he needed to. It didn't look like he kind of looked like a statue back there on Monday night, which if the Titans can get that interior pressure, that's going to be huge. If you can get Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons to push the pocket, get some opportunities for Harold Landry coming off the edge, I think that is that's an edge the Titans have on Sunday. Jets are a really talented team, but if you can affect Aaron Rodgers consistently, that could be the difference in the game.
I think the secondary is a big factor here too, because if you take away Garrett Wilson, I think that makes it a whole lot easier to defend them. Now, Mike Williams is good, but he is also coming off an ACL injury, I think. Alvin Lazard has always been Aaron Rodgers' bailout guy, his I don't want to say full-on number one, but he's Aaron Rodgers has always had a guy like Jordy Nelson, for instance. Randall Cobb was that guy for a while, and then it became Davante Adams. But Alvin Lazard is not Davante Adams, newsflash.
No, but he is his Jordy Nelson of the modern day, I think.
He is.
Yeah.
And like to y'all's point about Aaron Rodgers, like I think this past Monday night on their short week they have this week, I think he treated week one like a preseason game, honestly.
I think he just he probably felt like he needed to just get it under his belt.
Yeah.
Like, just get back out there, get through a game.
That's why it kind of concerns me a little bit. I'm optimistic about this Sunday, but also a little bit, you know, I guess you call it pessimistic, because, yes, Aaron Rodgers now has a game under his belt. He understands the offensive line tendencies. I don't know how much he can kind of compute after 1 week, but maybe he knows that there's some weak spots in the offensive line. He knows maybe not to drift his body off, I guess you call it the midline, in the back, in his pocket. So maybe he knows not to drift left or drift right and just kind of maybe stay central or just drift more often right. I don't know, something like that. But it will be interesting, because he mentioned the defensive side of the ball. But if you have the cornerbacks, L'Jarius Sneed and Garrett Wilson matchup, I think he already mentioned it. It's going to be something to – it's going to be popcorn-worthy, let's put it that way. Because you have a guy like Garrett Wilson who is electric. He can stop on a dime. L'Jarius Sneed, everybody's concerned about those knees, but he's been pretty good for the most part. And so with that being said, you want to see how his knees can hold up against that. And also to that point too, Jamal Adams with injuries. And he was available this week.
And he's back. Against his former team.
Yeah. No injuries this week.
Yeah, no injuries.
According to Brian Callahan.
And so that's why I'm like, wait a minute. Because when the news broke when Jamal Adams signed, during our show, he signed with the Titans. I was like, whoa, wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't know how much like this is going to benefit the team. Like, if he plays, he's got to play at least like 8 to 10 games. So this is game one of Jamal Adams in two-tone blue. And I need to see kind of what he can do. Obviously, I think Denard Wilson prefaced it earlier this week that there are a lot of dogs out there on defense, and Jamal Adams he's adding to the recipe. He's adding to the equation. I mean, yeah, he'll be adding to it, but how much will he be adding to it? That's the thing.
On the other side of the ball, I think the Titans need to get Will Levis in a rhythm. And I think that starts with Tony Pollard running the football and getting easy play-action plays for Will Levis. I think if you can establish Tony Pollard early – and get those linebackers, DeMario and them, moving up.
DeMario.
It's a DeMario.
C.J. Mosley and Quincy Williams.
Yep.
Not DeMario. If you can get those guys cheating up a little bit to stop the run, give him some easy looks over the top to Ridley or Hopkins or some of the tight ends. Just get him in a little bit of a groove, because it never felt like Will Levis got into a rhythm on Sunday. I think you need to get him some easy looks early in the game to get him back into some confidence, because I'm sure, as much as he says he didn't lose sleep on Sunday night, I'm sure his confidence is a little bit shaken after what happened on Sunday.
The guy who's going to get him into a rhythm, and this has been kind of a thing we started it in training camp, and I heard Chase and Big Joe talking about this. When is Calvin Ridley and Will Levis's connection going to show?
It's got to happen.
It's got to happen.
Yeah.
They got to gel. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the chemistry that's going to click before Calvin Ridley and Will Levis is going to be DeAndre Hopkins. Why do I say that? It's because DeAndre Hopkins has already had a season under his belt with Will Levis. And even though he didn't play week one, he's still going to have some sort of chemistry going into the second season. So I think that chemistry is going to hit first rather than Calvin Ridley.
I think so too. And DeAndre Hopkins getting a full load this weekend is going to be big because he was only out there for what? A dozen snaps or so on Sunday.
Yeah.
He had one catch, but I think having him out there for the full go, it's going to put pressure on this Jets defense. Sauce Gardner can only guard one guy at a time, and then DJ Reed is good on the other side, but he's questionable, I want to say. So even if he's out there, probably not at 100%, so maybe some places that the Titans can take advantage in that secondary. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Again, our question of the day, who is a player or coach you love to hate? We'll get to our answers coming up at 10 o'clock. Be sure to tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis in a doubleheader. Pre-game's at 4:50, first pitch for game one at 5:05, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. When we come back,
I'm so excited.
It's everybody's favorite segment. Newt's Notes up next. Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Newt's Notes. In my head, they count to me. They understand. They talk to me.
Yeah, baby.
Wow.
You got vocals, right?
You are. Yeah, who's the guy on TikTok who
the black guy?
Yeah, who does this song?
Yeah, that's what you're going for.
I love it. You hear the music. You know what time it is. Newt's Notes. Take it away, Force Company.
Hey, man. Randy Orton, baby. You see this golden shower? Look at Nick Frazier.
I don't think you can say that.
What?
Randy Orton, his dad was, I believe, Billy Bob Orton, and
the Golden Shower.
He wrestled. It's like the fireworks.
That's the pyro.
Yeah, the pyro technique. Anyways,
Jake, I get what you're saying.
His father wrestled with my grandfather back in the day during the NWA. I believe his dad, Billy Bob Orton, still does a wrestling class, or he's a teacher for a wrestling class.
Cowboy?
Yeah. I was watching a documentary on that a few weeks back, and it's just cool.
I love Randy Orton.
I love the old school wrestling and just following the history of it because it's just in my family.
Randy Orton's my favorite.
Yeah, Randy Orton's one of the OGs of WWE that I still watch
always been my favorite.
Yeah, great guy.
But let's get into this.
All right, let's hear
now
it.
Well, Jake Lyman's still crying,
no boom or doom.
No boom or doom. All right, so we've all seen the news. The Pac-12 is coming back, sort of. Six-pack, as I will be calling them. Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State. Who am I missing?
San Diego State.
All joining the Pac-12 alongside Oregon State, Washington State. Lots of state
teams. They need two more, and they can be the State 8.
Oh, yes!
I didn't come up with that. I can't take credit for that.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Yeah. I think I'm the first one on this station to say it, and I will wear it proudly. Let the Pac-12 die. Let it die peacefully. You had a good run. You're not a power conference anymore. Hate to say it. We can make it out to be a power conference, but it's just a glorified G5, in my opinion.
I think they still will be a G5 even after this.
Yeah, like, I mean, they've lost everything for the most part. So I feel like after last season, it should have just ended. Just leave it be. It's not the same. Bill Walton's not here anymore, and that's sad to say, but that's part of it. And
he died with the conference champions.
Yeah, he did. And to me, when I think of Pac-12, I think of Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. That's what I think of. I don't think of, you know, let's say Boise State traveling up to Washington State to play at a noon kickoff. That's not what I think of when I think Pac-12. So, I mean, I get the nostalgia is kicking in. Oh, Pac-12 After Dark is back, and That's great, but I don't think it's going to be the Pac-12. I think it's going to be closer to the MAC. I'll just say that.
I agree with you. What made the Pac-12 was not it being the Pac-12. It was those schools, like you mentioned. It's Oregon. It's Washington.
Yeah.
It's the Southern California schools. Like it, the Pac-12, just because it will be the same branding, yeah, doesn't mean it's the Conference of Champions anymore.
It's not the Conference of Champions.
It never really was. But.
Connor's right. It's the MAC with a facelift.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is.
It's
got a Hollywood facelift.
It's like a, yeah, it's like a rebrand of a movie. It's like, let's say, what is going on College Game Day right
now? It's like a robot dog.
Eli Drinkwitz is currently walking with some robot dog, which is the most Eli Dorkwitz thing I've ever seen in my life.
Dorkwitz.
Anyway. Robot dog or Ben Herbstreit? Your pick.
Ben Herbstreit all the way.
We want Ben. Anyways, it's like a Hollywood rebrand of a movie. It's like Hollywood deciding, what's a good example of this? Jurassic Park. We'll say. The rebrand was good. And then they started making sequels.
Or you could just say Jaws.
Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Fast and Furious is sort of.
It's a good movie.
It's unnecessary.
I agree.
I feel like he should have died peacefully. And look, I have no ill will against the Pac-12. I love the Pac-12. Coach Newt is coaching the Oregon Ducks right now in the Pac-12, which has expanded to four more teams. So they're the Pac-16.
Wow.
So we've added Wyoming, Boise State, UNLV, who I think is coming next to the real Pac-12, and who is a lot, Colorado State.
I mean, I think eventually it's just the entire Mountain West is just going to merge into
the
Pac-12.
And Memphis, apparently.
Memphis in the Pac-12?
It's like a heavy rumor.
Yeah. Memphis was rumored. Tulane was rumored.
Yeah.
USF was rumored.
According to On3 Sports, Pete Nakos, that's what they were saying. Cal and Stanford could make a return to the Pac-12 is what they're saying.
Yeah. Maybe I'm old school. I am old school when it comes to this. I like my conferences to make geographical sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean,
the SEC is the only one that still does.
To an extent. If Cal and Stanford were somehow to make a return, would it be more of the Pac-12 or would you still have the same feeling?
No, it's like bringing back an old sitcom with a few key characters. It's like if Friends were to do a reboot, but only have, you know, Ross and Joey.
It's like How I Met Your Father, if you ever watched that.
Oh, yeah.
They tried to redo How I Met Your Mother. Which,
can't be done.
One of my favorite sitcoms of all time.
I fall asleep to that every night.
It is such a good show.
It's my comfort show.
They made How I Met Your Father, and Hilary Duff is the main character. And I tried it. They did bring back some of the main characters for like cameos, but it is one of the worst shows I've ever seen. It is so bad. I think that might be the perfect, like, the Pac-12 was great, but it's over.
Yeah.
We ended it. You don't need to rebrand and try and do something different.
I think they're doing a new reboot of The Office, and I'm like, I'm probably not going to watch it just because I love the original show so much. I don't think I could tarnish my image of that show with some new Hollywood branding. Same thing with the Pac-12. I loved the Pac-12 when it was around in the heyday, especially. My fondest memories were Marcus Mariota, Oregon Ducks in the Pac-12 taking on, you know, UCLA. Just fun times. And I'm not saying the new Pac-12 will be bad per se. I'm just saying it's not the same.
It won't live up to the hype. It
won't live up to what you think it's going to live up to.
I think Oregon State and Washington State should have just joined the Mountain West.
Or gone independent.
Yeah, gone independent and then figure it out as realignment. They'd find a home eventually.
Yeah.
But
especially Oregon State.
Yeah, trying to revive the Pac-12 just seems desperate at this point.
I mean, it's...
I wouldn't mind them joining the Big 12. I know Big 12 has way too many teams already, but geographically, like Connor's saying, like it just makes sense.
Is the Big 12 at 18 now, or are they at 20?
I think they're at 18.
They're up there in like numbers. It's either 18 or 20.
They added a lot.
Yeah.
Utah and Colorado coming in.
Well, yeah, because they had already added, but they were at 10 before. The Big 12 used to only have 10.
Yeah.
I think they're at 18 because they added UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, BYU,
mm-hmm.
and then they added Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado. So that's, 18.
Yeah. It's just, wow. That's where I want to know where your views stand, our listeners, Text us at 615-737-1025. What do you think of the new Pac-12? Do you like it? Do you hate it? I don't hate it, per se. I just want it to die. That sounds horrible. I just...
You don't want it to come back.
I don't want it...
Fair.
I don't think it's necessary. That would be like if we brought back Swanee in the SEC.
Hey, they're a founding member.
Hey. They used to run that
powerhouse.
They used to run that.
The Tigers, right? Swanee Tigers? Is that...
I think so.
Is that accurate?
University of the South.
That is correct.
Yep. Okay. Yep, Swanee. Bring them back. Bring them back. They can be the... Then
Vanderbilt won't have to be anyone's pushover.
Them and Tulane can come back, and then the SEC's at 18. Perfect.
What about Georgia Tech? I mean, they're a traditional founder as well.
Yeah, what?
That's right.
Let's bring in Georgia State. Turner Field.
Nah, I'm all right.
Vandy. Yeah, I'm good. Vandy at Georgia State this weekend.
It's going to be a great game.
It should be. Yeah. It should be. I think that's 6 o'clock kick tonight. You can hear pregame coverage right here on the game at 4:30.
Live from Turner Field.
You can't.
If they win,
weird.
If they win tonight, I see them making a bowl game this year.
They'd be 3-0.
Say a bold statement.
I think they win 1-2 SEC games.
They'd need 2.
I think we decided it's between Kentucky, Auburn, South Carolina. I think they can beat all 3 of those teams, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. But you got to avoid the sneaky Ball State game.
Yep, they got Ball State in mid-October. The other ones, it seems much less realistic. At Missouri? Yes, at Missouri.
Mm-mm.
Alabama at home,
mm-mm.
Texas at home,
mm-mm.
Tennessee at home,
mm-mm.
and at LSU, I think, are the
mm-mm.
other 5 games.
What do you mean? LSU didn't have their quarterback.
It's a night game
back.
In Death Valley,
it's
though.
It's Death Valley in prime time.
So listen, I've seen upsets in Death Valley before. Mississippi State was one of those back in the day. Dak Prescott, stiff-armed to the end zone. Love that game. There are teams that can get an upset in Death Valley, in my opinion.
Yeah, those 5, not impossible.
Right.
But much less likely. I think you've got to beat Georgia State, you got to beat Ball State, and you got to get 2 of those 3 against South Carolina, Auburn, Kentucky.
Yeah.
That gets you to 6. It's doable for Clark Lee and
Very
company.
Doable.
And again, you can tune in today, 4:30 pregame show, as the Commodores hit the road for the first time this year, taking on Georgia State at Turner Field in Atlanta. Connor, as always, thank you for Newt's Notes.
You know what? You're so welcome.
Excited to hear the other 2 intros that you've made up over the next couple of weeks. So
I'll play them for you after this.
I give this Newt's Notes a big boom.
Boom.
You all right, buddy? You all right?
Yeah.
It sounded a little doom there. A little boom.
Boom.
There you go.
There we go.
Right, cool.
I just didn't want to deafen our listeners across the Nashville area. I am the one who sang Western Kentucky's fight song at the top of my lungs on this station before.
Yeah, we should not do that.
That is true. Whoa. There's been more singing on this station than there should be.
It was a bet. I lost a bet to Junie, who used to be here, and Nick Keezer, who are both Western grads, last year.
Hey, I'm an MT grad. And so MT's going to win. So just put that.
They
out.
Are. Yeah. Well, no, I picked Western to win.
No, they're winning today, buddy. Like
I had Western 34-21.
Get with the program, all right? Get with the program.
We'll get there.
Jake, take it away, please.
Stay tuned right here on 102.5 and 106.3, the game, right after our show at 11 a.m. for our college football game of the week, Alabama and Wisconsin, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. When we come back, we'll get to our question of the day. Who is a player or coach you love to hate? If you have an answer, text or call us, 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And also, I will try Nick Frazier's pancakes on the other side of the break. We'll do Wakey Wakey Eggs and Jakey.
Yes!
Right here we on did Force it. Company 102.5, 106.3 The Game.